spiritual house, a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this time of fellowship. We want to separate ourselves fully for you. Pray for your help this morning. Speak to us. Give us grace. Father, you say that you will give grace to those who humble themselves before you. Give us grace for this fellowship.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Das ist so gut.
So good.
Dass wir diese Last über die wahre Anbetung,
that we have this, we can touch this burden of being true worshippers in this conference. For the young people, you have the characteristic to learn the fastest and to change something quickly. You are not so established in your ways. And that's why it's wonderful that the Lord wants to use this young people's conference to tell us and speak to us this burden, because the Lord has this hope that we as young people would change our ways. Yesterday we heard about the traditions. The traditions of worship is as old as the Christianity, which is 2,000 years. This tradition, what do you think? Do you think it will satisfy God? Is God satisfied with the Catholic Mass? When the Pope holds a Mass, is God satisfied with all this idol worshipping? What do you think? What does the book of Revelation say? Definitely not. Revelation 3 says that God hates it, what they are doing there. But they are still doing it. And they think that they are worshipping God. Definitely. Ask a Catholic, what do you do on Sunday mornings? He worships God. He worships God, and that is what he thinks. But is God satisfied? God hates it. He will judge in a double portion in the book of Revelation. There are so many traditions, the evangelist church and all the Christianity groups, all over, the believers are so-called worshipping God. But the question is God satisfied? Let us look at ourselves. What about us in the church? Is God, our Father, satisfied with our meetings? In the end, will He be satisfied? Or do we also have traditions where we are satisfied with the meetings, but God is not? Lord Jesus, the Lord has to save us. We should not get used to just coming together to listen to messages and to sing songs, standing up and to proclaim something, and you sit down again and you go back home. Next Sunday, we do the same things. God is definitely not satisfied. But I want to say that every one of us should ask the Father personally, just like what we shared yesterday night. Go to the Father and ask Him personally, Father, are you satisfied with the church in Karlsruhe, with our meetings? Do you get what you want? Oh Lord, we truly have to ask the Lord in this time. And we as young people, we should tell the Lord, Lord, no. I do not want to have a tradition. I want to satisfy you. Hallelujah. God seeks the true worshippers. Among us, young people, this is the greatest hope that God can change us, that we can come out of all these traditions and to enter into this true, the reality of the true worshippers. This is so wonderful. There's such a longing in this verse. In John chapter 4, 23, the hour is coming and now is. The Lord can't wait. In verse 21, he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming." And in verse 23, he said, "But the hour is coming and now is."
Hallelujah!
The time is here where we should change our direction and to be those who satisfy God. God wants to gain a whole group of young people who can satisfy Him. It's too wonderful.
Hallelujah!
And the Lord said here, it only can take place in spirit and in truth. In spirit. Oh, Abba Father, I want to draw something. And probably, some of you may know this, but just to know this is not good enough. It doesn't suffice. Here, this should represent men. It's a little bit different as how you would normally draw a man, a person. This person, we have been created by God with a body. We all learn that in biology. And then we have a soul which comes from God. We can't see your soul, but you feel it constantly. And this soul is divided into three parts. Is your understanding, your logic and how you think, our feeling, emotion, how we are feeling. Do I feel good this morning or bad? It's all in your emotion. That's in your soul. And here, our will. And that is our soul, created by God in a wonderful way. Because God has something, has a purpose with us. But this is not everything. The most important thing is still lacking here. The most important thing which God created, this is the Spirit. A wonderful Spirit in all of us. We have been created by God with a human spirit. I want to read a verse from Proverbs. It's also in the outline. Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. This verse is not talking about the Holy Spirit, not talking about God's Spirit. All of us probably know this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. But this is just one part. The other part is what this verse is mentioning here, the Spirit of man. This is a portion in us. Men, I want to read another verse in 1 Corinthians 2. Maybe it's not usual for you, some of you, to hear this, but this is mentioned in the scripture and not just mentioned once. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 is the letter from Paul. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? It's very clear. Here it says, the spirit of man which is in him, even so no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. So there are two here, two. The spirit of man, which is created by God in our innermost depth, and also the spirit of God, which is God Himself, who is eternal. Now we have to go to John chapter 3. And we should see and understand why are we created in such a way. John chapter 3, starting from verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, which is Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wonderful. And then Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Etc., etc. He didn't understand what it was all about. He did not understand the Lord at all. And verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. This is wonderful. This is a big thing. This is truly a big matter. Whatever which is born of Spirit is spirit. It means God, the Spirit of God, Himself, God Himself, which is the Holy Spirit, is with us, is through our salvation, enters into our human spirit, and our human spirit has then been regenerated. God comes into you. Hallelujah. Stefan. Wonderful. Isn't that great? Whatever which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. We may you also read, whatever which is born of the Spirit of God is my human spirit. Now, the Spirit of God lives in me. God Himself lives in me. And where? In your human spirit. God doesn't live in your understanding, your mind. Your mind is far away from God. Don't you believe that? What do you think about the whole day long? Our mind is darkened, far away from God, and God doesn't live in your mind. He doesn't live there. You cannot find Him there. Your emotion. Oh, you feel so near to God and you start to sway with the music and you thought you are so near to God. Believe me, you are not near to God. You are very far away, in fact, from Him in your emotion. Your emotion is like a sea with waves. Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. Alone, that the fact that you have such experiences, that you are high and low and high and low, sometimes in the heavens and sometimes hell, according to your feelings. Don't you believe there are such things? Many Christians are suffering because they are so much in their emotion, but they do not know the Spirit. The Spirit is not your emotion. The Spirit is in a totally different realm. The Spirit doesn't go high and low. And that is why it's so important. The true worshippers is in the Spirit. It's not in your emotion, not in your mind, but it's in your spirit. And there you will become the true worshipper. And that's why, hallelujah, because we are born again, we can be these true worshippers. But this is not sufficient. We are all born again. Philip, are you born again? How long? He doesn't even know how many years already. But are you a true worshipper? He said yes, but he needed faith. Does your life satisfy the Father every single day? Why not? Because we do not live in a spirit. Maybe we are born again, we are Christians for 10 years, and sometimes maybe we are just 1 year or 20 years. But this is not the question. Rather, the question is, do you live in your spirit? Do you live by the Spirit? Why are we born again in the Spirit? Is it so that then you can live, continue to live in your flesh? No, that is not the point here. The point here is that today we have to live by the Spirit. And whoever who lives in the Spirit can be the true worshipper. John 4, let's go back to John 4. In 24, this verse is very important. This is very important. God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in Spirit and truth. God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in Spirit and truth. If I am not in the Spirit, even if I am born again, I have nothing to do with God. Yes. Really, truly. So, I want to read a verse what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You are born again, although you are born again, but if you live in the flesh, in your body, in your flesh, full of sin, and if you just live according to what you want, then you are absent from the Lord. You are not the true worshipper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read another verse here in verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Here it says the natural man, a carnal man. What does it mean to be a natural man? What do you think, brother? Does it say here not born again man, but here it says the natural man, a man who is simply living in his soul? This is a natural man. Sometimes we like to daydream. Some of you are in the university, in the school. If you go to school, you take the bus, what do? You daydream. Or you sit there a little bit apathetic. Or even in a lecture, sometimes you just sit there and daydream during your lectures. And sometimes even in the meetings. Some people just sit there and stare, except there is something in front of you, staring into the air. I'm not a spirit. I'm not air. God is Spirit. Me not. It's not so good if you just stare through me. If you just look at the brothers looking emptily in through him, then probably you are not in the Spirit. Yeah, it means you just daydream. You daydream. You go, you have your thoughts, and your thoughts bring you to the left, to the right, and the other person is much captured in his mind. You are everywhere else except in the Spirit. But here it says, here in the meeting, please, we have to exercise to be in the Spirit. I mean it seriously. At least in the Spirit, in the meeting, try to be in the Spirit. The natural man is used to do things according to what he wants. If we just do what we want, I wake up and what do I do? Now the sun is shining, I go swimming. Oh, and then I went swimming and then it's so boring here, and then maybe I should start playing computer games. And after 4 hours of playing computer games, I have small eyes, and then I'm not sure what I should do. Oh, maybe I take a nap. And then after that, I wake up in the night, and what do I do at night? I watch TV, or I do Facebook, or I look at some video online. I tell you, you are fully living in your soul and flesh. And you cannot be a true worshipper in such a way. If you live like that, then we are definitely not the true worshipper. I'm sorry to say that. If we don't live in the Spirit, we do what we want. We think what we want and we live in the flesh. This is not the true worshipper. A true worshipper lives in His Spirit. And that means, in other words, the Lord reigns in you. You think of what the Lord wants to think. You think about the things above. How often do you exercise to set your mind on the things above? What? I can't hear you. How often? What? Regardless, immediately right now, starting from now, I want to exercise all time. Don't think it's easy to live in the Spirit. Just to be born again is not sufficient. But rather, we have to learn to set our mind on things above and to be under the authority of the Lord, and we have to kill the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit, to reign over our feeling. Do not be swayed to be captured, drawn away from your emotion. I've slept badly, or I'm in a bad mood, then I don't pray. But if I were to do that, then I would not pray often because I always get bad sleeps. No, we have to be true worshippers. One more point here. 2 Corinthians 3, very important. It's very, very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Here it says, the word says, something very important. Let's read. The brother here, please stand up, read this verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where is the Lord today? In the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. If you want to know the Lord, if you truly want to know the Lord, it's only in the Spirit, because the Lord is Spirit, God is Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, the house of God, the church is in the Spirit, the sacrifices are in the Spirit, the speaking of God is in the Spirit. What do you have if you are not in the Spirit? You have to understand this. The whole New Testament is only in the Spirit. In the Old Testament, there is a physical house. But in the New Testament, there is a spiritual house. In the Old Testament, you have oxen. But in the New Testament, it's the spiritual sacrifices. In the Old Testament, God speaks with a thundering voice. But in the New Testament, God speaks in your spirit. Today the Lord is a spirit. We have to know our spirit. Without the Spirit, then we are not really in the New Testament. The Spirit is the key. Lord Jesus. And one more verse. John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, verse 17. Let's read that together. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. Maybe just 17 is good enough. John chapter 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He might abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. And you have to highlight, you have to mark that. You have to know Him. It cannot be that the Spirit is in you and you do not notice Him. Have you eaten your breakfast, Marcos? Are you sure? Or do you just believe that you have eaten? Do you know? You know. Are you sure? Yes. Why? Because you feel it in your stomach. Ah.
Sorry, Leila.
You feel that you have eaten. But how can it be that you have the Spirit and still, and yet you do not feel Him? You are born again, the Spirit is in you, but yet you do not feel anything. What? Spirit? No idea. It cannot be. It's impossible. And here it says, but you know Him. Today, we all have our personal time. Take this verse before the Lord. Bring it before Him and tell Him, Lord, you say here that you know Him. I know Him. What about me? I also want to know Him. I want to know the Spirit. This is the triune God. God is Spirit. The Lord is a Spirit. And all is in our whole, in our spirit. We really have to get to know this triune God in our spirit. We know Him. You know Him. And then we will truly become the true worshippers.